I'm Afshin Ratansi, and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the UAE, from Gaza to Ukraine to China. Who creates the obviously false narratives parroted by fake journalists, bought politicians and absurd geopolitical analysts? If you believe the Gaza genocide is excused by October the 7th, that Russia invaded Ukraine in an unprovoked attack, and that China wants to control all of our minds, you probably thought Iraq had WMD. Command Chief Master Sergeant Dennis Fritz was at the heart of US power when that lie was being forged, one that would kill, wound or displace tens of millions of men, women and children. Iraq was to be just the start, along with Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan and Iran. Dennis Fritz advised the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Richard Myers, and his US intelligence service redacted book, Deadly Betrayal, is out now. He joins me from Waldorf in Maryland. Thank you so much for coming on, Command Chief Sergeant. It's an amazing, terrific book, despite these black marks all over it. I better just quickly ask you, and Larry Wilkerson, the former chief of staff at the State Department, said it was an amazing book before we even read it. What was it like getting all these black marks over your book?
Well, I must tell you, first of all, thanks for having me. And I must tell you, I was not surprised. You know, it's almost like, who killed JFK? You know, are they really space aliens? You know, there could be certain things that the Pentagon just will not let out. So I wasn't surprised at it all. Now, I will, here in a future date, challenge those redactions, but I wanted to get the book out as soon as possible. So I did not challenge it immediately. But I think the American public and the world needs to know what was redacted.
I mean, the book is called Deadly Betrayal, The Truth About Why the U.S. Invaded Iraq. Could it equally be why the U.S. is attempting illegal regime change in Iran, Syria, so many other countries because of Israel and not because of U.S. national security?
Well, you're exactly right. But the reason let me just tell you how I came up with the title. Some 4,500 military men and women were killed based on a lie. And that just really bothered me as a member of the armed forces of the United States for over 28 years to see that those lives were lost based on a lie. Also, the 100,000 or so more that will be wounded for life. And then even worse, you know, some have said 1 million Iraqis that were at least killed or displaced and the infrastructure destroyed. So I called it deadly betrayal because of that lie. Now, why do I say the truth of why we invaded Iraq? As you mentioned, those other countries, Iraq was just the first stage of us eventually going into Syria, then Iran. As you well know, Libya was taken out by, quote, unquote, NATO, but that was a part of the scheme as well. But what prevented us from going into Syria and then later on in Iran, which we'll discuss later, was because of the fact we got tied down because of the insurgency. As you probably remember in history, you had some in the Bush administration saying, oh, it will be a cakewalk. We'll be welcomed with open arms. Well, that didn't happen. And the insurgency prevented us from actually carrying out the same thing that we tried to do in Iraq.
I mean, there were honorable exceptions to those people who kept quiet. David Kelly, the British government scientist, who was a source on my BBC program today, the Today program in Britain, which led to resignations of the director general of the BBC and so on. You knew that there were lies going on when you were there in the top. The star of your book is a man called Douglas Feat. Who is he? Because people aren't fight. No one's going to know who he is. And you waited 20 years to call him out. What he helped do was to endanger, kill those 4,500 servicemen and women, maybe. He helped to do that. And the tens of millions displaced in Iraq. Who is this man?
Well, let me tell you about Douglas Feith. At the time, Douglas Feith was the number three individual in the Pentagon. You had Rumsfeld, then Wolfowitz as his deputy, and then the deputy for policy, which was the position that Doug Feith held. Now, let me tell you my background and my story, how I came into this before we get to Doug Feith, because that's how I came into contact with Doug Feith. As I was on active duty in the military, of course, we all throughout the world were startled by the 9/11 attacks on the United States. And so like any other country, we were worried. I hate to say it, but some of us wanted revenge. And we felt that we had to retaliate against those that had attacked us. And so the military, we were all for, okay, we need to go to Afghanistan. But we started hearing, after we had replaced the Taliban, we started hearing about deploying to Iraq. And that was surprising to many of us in the military. We didn't understand, what did Iraq have to do with 9/11? And I just could not see myself sending troops off to a war that I did not believe in. And I remember sending an email to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the time, General Myers, and said, listen, I'm not understanding. I'm getting a lot of concern from the troops of saying, why are we going to Iraq? What did they have to do with 9/11? And the answers I was getting from the Pentagon, I knew many of folks at the Pentagon from two assignments I'd had there previously. I just couldn't buy it. And I decided to retire from the military so that I could vocally speak out against the war, never really knowing why we were going to Iraq at the time, but I just had this gut feeling. When we started hearing about WMDs, I started asking folks at the Pentagon, have you seen any sign of Saddam having WMDs? And nobody could tell me. And so I decided to retire, and I decided to step out into the civilian world and to be able to protest the war, if you will. Well, I was out of the Pentagon and the military for a few months, and things wasn't going well for me in the civilian world. And I had a friend to contact me and say, Fritz, we need you to come back to the Pentagon. And it had been my life for 28 years. And I gave in. But as I will tell many of folks, you know, I believe in divine intervention. And somehow I ended up working in that number three spot under Fife. And our job was at the time, because of the fact that the Iraq war was so controversial, it was going down in history, possibly as the biggest foreign policy blunder by the United States. We were told that we needed to start declassifying most of the pre-planning Iraq war documents. And because of my background, I was selected for that team to review all those documents. We fell under Douglas Fife. And at the time, I knew little about Doug Fife. But as I walked into the Pentagon for a third time, there was a lot of dislike of Doug Fife. In the past, from my previous assignments at the Pentagon, we were what's called apolitical. We didn't get into the political world. But as I went back to the Pentagon, it was all political. We can talk about neoconservatives.
Was he an Israeli spy?
Well, here's what I always tell folks how I operate. I can give you an assumption, I can give you an opinion, and I can give you a fact. Now, I can't give you a fact, but I've been told by a number of sources that he indeed was a spy. Now, what I can tell you, during the time that I was in the Pentagon and what we call the Office of Secretary of Defense for Policy, which Doug Fife ran, you had a lot of Israeli folks running in and out of the Pentagon at the time. I can also tell you that during the Bush administration to the run-up to the war, each cabinet official had an individual who they would talk to in Israel to keep them posted on what we were doing in regards to planning for the invasion of Iraq. And the point person that Doug Fife was keeping in touch with was, at the time, Bibi Netanyahu, who was, I think, at the time, was the finance minister. He was not, at that particular time, prime minister. But Doug Fife, which I can tell you is a fact, not an opinion, not an assumption, was keeping Bibi Netanyahu informed what was going on. So I can't tell you if he was a spy, but I can tell you he had a lot of direct communication with Bibi.
Come on, Chief Master Sergeant. You might have to explain what FARA is, Foreign Agent Registration Act. Would it not be illegal unless if someone was doing stuff with another government in that way, shouldn't they be registering somewhere before they swanning around the Pentagon?
Well, listen, you just hit a nerve, and you hit a nerve of a lot of us in the foreign policy, national security arena here in the United States. Any other country, it would probably be criminal what's going on right now and in the past with Israel. I can tell you, if you look at the history of this, John Kennedy, our president back in the 60s, attempted to, going that far back, to register them as a foreign agent, anybody who's working with Israel, on behalf of Israel here in our country. And I can tell you, it has not worked. You know, the big elephant in the room, and I'm just going to get right to it right now, is that whether it be our Congress or whatever administration is in office at the time. A lot of people don't like to hear us say this, but our Congress is bought and paid for by the Israeli lobby.
Yeah, in your book, you even mention, of all people, Condoleezza Rice criticizing your boss, Douglas Feith, for carrying the mail for Israel. I mean, that's the national security advisor at the time. She knew.
Yeah, well, she actually said carrying the mail for the Likud party.
Because it was Likud and Netanyahu.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, if anyone thinks this book is just history, you say in the book that, you talk about the illegal military presence in Syria under the disguise of fighting terrorism. Many Americans won't even know that. Tell me about this occupation of Syria, and is that a hangover of the lies told, I suppose, by Israeli proxies to U.S. Officials 20 years ago or more?
Well, I'm glad you raised that point, because as I mentioned earlier, the plan was to go into Iraq first, and the reason behind Iraq was because of the fact under the Bill Clinton administration, we had what we call a regime policy change. And that was not carried out during the Clinton administration. And so once the Bush administration came in, you know, filled with neocons, they were going to use that as their rationale to go in and take out Saddam under this so-called regime change policy. Now, Syria was going to be next. What I would share with you, whether it be Iraq or Syria, they're sovereign countries. They are sovereign countries. What right do we have, first of all, to attack Iraq? And next of all, what gives us the right to be in Syria uninvited by their government? And so that in itself is illegal. Now, the reason we are there under the so-called disguise of the war on terrorism is to maintain some sense of control in Syria. If it not was for us getting tied down in Iraq, as I stated earlier, by the insurgency, and, oh, by the way, we would have been in Syria. But to prevent that as well, Russia came to the rescue of Syria in order so we couldn't expand further into Syria. Now, I've heard folks say that we're in Syria to protect the oil fields, which is true. Now, I don't know who that oil is intended for, but I'm told by sources. And when I say I'm told by sources, you know, that's when I'm given an opinion, because I don't know it to be fact. But I've been told by folks who I believe that they're there to protect the oil fields for Israel, that illegally there's being oil sent to Israel from the northern part of Syria.
OK, Chief Master Sergeant,
you're definitely not there
on that cliffhanger, Chief Master Sergeant Dennis Fritz. I'll stop you there. More from the author of Deadly Betrayal, The Truth About Why the United States Invaded Iraq, after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with retired Commander Chief Master Sergeant Dennis Fritz. Before I rudely interrupted, Commander Chief Master Sergeant, you were talking about some reports from sources to you that the oil being stolen from the Syrian, from Syria today is for Israel, as part of what your book talks about as a capture of U.S. foreign policy by Benjamin Netanyahu and the Likud party in Israel.
Yes. But getting back to Syria, as we left off, we can definitely say it, as I mentioned before about opinions, assumptions, and fact. I can give you a fact that we're not there for the so-called war on terrorism. And so when I had mentioned earlier about sources telling me we're there to protect the oil fields and some of that oil is leading into Israel, I believe it to be true because I believe the sources, and we have no other reason to be in Syria. So going back to your original question, I want you to keep this in mind. The neocons and the Israeli lobby in regards to the Middle East, it's a long-term strategy. This has been going on since the early 1990s. And another reason I believe we're there is because of the fact that as long as the Israeli lobby has control over our government, if you will, they're always going to have that long-term strategy of taking over the entire Middle East on behalf of Israel. you know, as you stated, we're currently illegally in Syria. Well, likewise, their eyes are still on Iran. That is the big capture right there, Iran. And if you notice, like, key words, everything's about messaging. With regards to what's going on in Gaza right now, I may have jumped the gun on you, but I just want to mention that. In regards to what's going on in Gaza right now, when the Houthis are coming in support of the Palestinian people, or the fight that Hamas is giving Israel right now, and then Hezbollah threatening to join in. Well, you ever notice one key thing you always hear? Houthis backed by Iran. Hezbollah backed by Iran. You always are tying Iran into that. Why is that? But that is Israel setting the stage of trying to get our support into attacking Iran, which has been a plan in their mind for decades.
Given that you obviously realize, and as I said in your book, Condoleezza Rice seemed to suggest Israel, the Pentagon had thousands of employees when you were working there. It has thousands of employees today. Do you think it must be more than just you that realizes or detects this capture of U.S. foreign policy? I mean, how many people in the Biden administration were basically Israeli assets, not working for the American people, but working for the Likud party in Tel Aviv?
Well, what I would tell you, it was not many, and it's not many now. It's just the idea that they're put in strategic positions and locations throughout government, and mainly in leadership positions. The U.S. government, in particular of the Pentagon, it consists of...
Command Chief Sergeant, but Master Sergeant, it does feel like a conspiracy theory, obviously. You're talking about a few people there at the top and all these thousands of people unaware that the... Well, sometimes, as you said, thousands of U.S. servicemen and women giving up their lives for this.
Well, and that's what you need to understand. In the Pentagon, which a lot of people don't understand, it's majority of career people that's not associated, is what we call apolitical. As each administration come in with their own personal agendas, you have government employees that are career employees. Their job is to carry out that particular policy or agenda at the time. Now, are there some, as I was, exposed to some things that could possibly be unethical or illegal? Some do come out as whistleblowers. But guess what happens to those whistleblowers? You know, they're demonized. And so in most cases in government, whether it be the Department of State or the Pentagon, our two primary major national security agencies, you know, those folks have been there all their lives, and they don't want to put their career, you know, at stake. It takes a lot of guts. As even me, you know, I'm not all that brave. I've told many of folks, if you've heard it, Daniel Ellsberg, I'm the coward Daniel Ellsberg. And what I mean by coward, somebody said, don't say that. Well, you know, when Daniel Ellsberg saw things going, that was not right in the Pentagon, saying that, hey, in the Pentagon during the Vietnam War era, you know, he released documents. Well, I didn't do that. And when you said I waited 20 years, my hope was that some official would really come out and say, hey, you know, this was a lie. And it never happened. And so I had been thinking about this for years. And my original goal was, listen, after 20 years of the Iraq War, you know, as I stated, you probably saw in my book in the intro, if the book has not been written that you would like to read, then you need to be the one to write it. And so that's what made me decide, okay, I got to find a publisher for this, because of the fact you're not going to find people to speak out because they're really fearful of their careers, and they're not going to do that. In regards to the military, we are, how can I say it? We are so career-minded and followed to take orders, unless we know for a fact they're illegal. So the military stays out of the politics of any particular administration that comes into the office at that particular time. So don't be surprised that of the thousands and thousands of people, in fact, the Pentagon is the largest office building in the world, but it's comprised mainly of career government employees who carry out, long as they don't see it as being illegal or unethical. Now, the illegal things that may be happening, it is really kept from the majority of the employees of the Pentagon or State Department. And so they really don't know. And as I stated earlier, you know, when you have an administration coming in, the Bush administration at that particular time was probably the most corrupt, other than you go back to the Nixon years, was probably one of the most corrupt administrations to ever come in regards to foreign policy or national security.
We don't know actually what's happening under the Biden administration, in fairness. And we all miss Dan Ellsberg. People can watch our interview with the late Dan Ellsberg and his about his courage on our Rumble channel. Just on what you were talking about, Syria, for instance, because it's still relevant. Why were they, and were they surprised that they were going to lose because Russia was going to intervene to protect Syria, clearly, because it has a base in Latakia, for instance, and for other reasons. Similarly with Ukraine, I mean, do these people not realize that other countries are going to kick back at U.S. imperialism?
But no, that's part of the strategy. Listen, this goes all the way back, and I think 1998, and you may be familiar with this, and I always like to explain things, because we can't assume that our audience understands everything we're saying, as you alluded to, Daniel Ellsberg. Back in the 1990s, and Paul Wolfowitz and Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld were all a part of this. We had something which they created called the Project for the New America Century, called the PNAC. And they were planning back then in 1998 for world dominance. Did not care. It ties in when you mentioned about Ukraine. Their goal was to be the predominant world power, to weaken Russia, to challenge China. China does not want war with us. We're the ones that create the atmosphere of war. We want to weaken China. We want to weaken Russia so that we can be the sole superpower. After a while, I predict this 10 years ago. I remember having a conversation with then the former chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, Richard Myers, and I stated that one day China and Russia are going to get tired of us thinking we can dominate the world, and they're going to come together. And that's what happened in the case of Syria. Russia decided no more of this. We're not going to have this. And so they decided that they were going to step in Syria. Likewise with China. You know, we had a one-China policy. I call it had, because in fact, it seems like we're running away from that now, that foreign policy-wise and diplomatically-wise, we would deal with China only. Well, we started changing that, where we're going to try to do everything we can to keep Taiwan as a democracy and challenge China, which they consider still their territory. There's nothing you can do about it. Where China and Russia, North Korea, North Korea is no threat to us, but we want to dominate them. And so these folks are coming together and saying, hey, no longer. So yeah, did those folks, the neocons, as I call them, the neoconservatives, think that would happen? No. They thought that they could dominate the world and Russia and China were just going to sit back and do nothing. Well, they know now.
And how does the disinformation, I should say they pulled Libya off, destroying Africa's richest per capita country. How did they pull off the disinformation strategy? They smear people. They work with people at, you know, the big media corporations, oligarch media corporations in the United States and around NATO countries. How do they do it from your perspective, seeing it from the inside?
Hey, let me go back and say something that you had asked me earlier. You follow so many folks in the Pentagon and State Department, and, you know, why aren't more speaking out? Well, I must tell you that this is the most optimistic I've been in the last 20 years of more people speaking out and more people learning what's going on. In the past, how they were able to get away with it was disinformation, how they message. And to be frank with you, and I hope nobody take this, you know, in a negative way, but it was ignorance. You know, the majority of the American people, they don't concentrate on foreign policy and how it can impact our national security and how it can impact us economically. You know, as you will probably know, you know, being familiar with foreign policy, how can we allow our country to just give away $3.7 billion a year that is known, but it's more than that, to a country I will call Israel? How can we allow that? Why will we allow that when we see, in my particular case, spending 28 years of my life in the military, when we see so many homeless veterans on the streets of the United States of America? when we see others that are not veterans that are on the streets of America as homeless? How can we? It's through ignorance. But what's happening now through social media, because as you alluded to earlier, the mainstream media, they're bought and paid for by the oligarchs as well. You know, they do messaging in support of those things that they want to do. And so the American people and the world has seen it, you know, through a lot of their news media. But we in America, we were not seeing those things. Only those of us that had the luck and the luxury of being inside the Pentagon during the Bush administration. Listen, I did not know anything about the neocons, our foreign, even though I was in the military. I was trained to follow the orders of our civilian leadership and our commanders. And so until I got into the Pentagon and started looking at how things were happening, you know, that's when it opened my eyes. But I was all alone. I had nobody I could talk to because nobody would really believe me. You know, they believe everything that the ADL, the Israeli lobby was saying, that was, you know, putting talking papers in front of our members of Congress and administration. People believed that. And so I was alone. The only person I had to talk to, Larry Wilkes, I became friends, you know, over 15 years ago. He was the only person, you know, that I could really talk to. Now, with social media that's dominating the news now, more people are finding out about what has been happening and what's going on now. And that's why the Israeli lobby, they're really afraid. That's why, if I jump subjects on you, the Israeli lobby is pushing to get rid of TikTok. Now, I will tell you, as an old guy, the young people love it when I say this, I'm a TikTok nut. I love TikTok because you're getting real-time information, especially what's going on in Gaza right now.
Chief Master Sergeant Dennis Fritz, thank you. And that's it for the show. The new book, Deadly Betrayal, The Truth About Why the United States Invaded Iraq, is out now. Remember, we're bringing you new episodes every Saturday and Monday. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media. If it's not censored in your country, head to our channel, Going Underground TV, on rumble.com to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you soon.